Okay, Parshas Drachim, we're starting the Drush Shmini. And he starts off with this Medrash, beautiful Medrash, that why wasn't Moshe allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael? Well, we all know all kinds of reasons, but this Medrash says, why wasn't Moshe allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael? That's Kadesh Yavi Imo La'asad Lavodor HaMidbar, so that this way, if he'd be buried outside of Israel, eventually La'asad Lavo, he would bring with him the Dor HaMidbar. As it says, Kisham Mechalkas Mechokik Safan V'yesi Roshayam. Why is the Mechokik, why is Moshe buried there, so that he should, he'll bring the Dor HaMidbar eventually back into Eretz Israel. Okay, that's how the Medrash starts, and, unlike many of the Drushim where it takes a very long time to get back to that Medrash, we're actually gonna cover that in Ritzashem today. Okay. So it sounds like that it was, Behashkachas Hashem that Moshe was buried outside of Israel, somehow his chus would bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we can get back to that in a second. First, we start off with, he starts off discussing how Eretz Yisrael is the place, the only place a person can really reach the Shleimus HaNefesh, according to the Ramban, in Chumash, in Vayikra Yudches Chaf Hei. So that's the place that Hashem's Shechina is. There's no Sar or anything else there. That's Hashem is there. And a person can only reach Shleimus there. And furthermore, it also has this Segula that it can protect you from the Tahara of Avodah Zarah. Where do we see that? That's a Gemara in Erechin. That there's a Pasuk that's very unusual Pasuk in Nehemiah that says that in the time of Ezra, they started sitting in sukkahs, and they hadn't sat in sukkahs from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, which sounds very unusual. And the Gemara asks, David didn't sit in a sukkah. What does this mean? Rather, it means that Ezra was davened that the Yetzihara of Avodah Zarah should go away, and that protected them like a sukkah. Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, so why does it say since Yeshua? And it actually spells Yeshua missing a hey, it spells him chaser, because it was a taina on Yeshua. Why do we have to wait all the way till Ezra? Why didn't Yeshua daven as soon as he came into Eretz Yisrael that the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah should go away? Then we wouldn't have had all these problems. Okay. But it says that it was Yeshua's problem, not Moshe's. I think Gemara says that the reason why it's not a taina on Moshe is because Moshe did not have this chus of Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua, who was in Eretz Yisrael, he had the schos of Eretz Yisrael. He should have davened that the Yitzhara of Avodah Zarah goes away. So the Parshas Drachim says, you see from here that Eretz Yisrael has a special segula to fight the Yitzhara of Avodah Zarah. Okay, keep that in mind. So he says, based on this, you can understand the psukim that when Moshe dies, he's talking to the nation. This is in Devarim Perek Daled Pasuk Chaf Beis. It says, Moshe says, I am dying in this land. I'm not going to pass over the Yarden River. And then he says, be careful, don't forget the bris, don't start making Avodah Zarah. So what does one have to do with the other? What does the fact that he's going to die and not going into Eretz Yisrael have to do with the fact that he shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah? They anyway shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah, whether he's going into Eretz Yisrael or not. Why does he mention that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael? Therefore, he's warning them, don't do Avodah Zarah. And the answer is this. Because Moshe wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't able to get rid of the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah because he didn't have this chos of Eretz Yisrael. But merely saying, since I can't go in and get rid of this Avodah Zarah for you, the Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah, therefore I need you to be very careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. Okay, beautiful pshat. And he says, Derech Agav, he has a ha'ara about Moshe not going into Eretz Yisrael. This is really a side point, but very interesting. He wants to know, we know Moshe went into the land of Sichon and Og, obviously we all know that. Sichon and Og should have been part of Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't really have an answer to that, because Sichon and Og are part of the Zion Amamin. It is Eiver LeYarden. I mean, it's the wrong side of the Jordan, right? It's outside of it's over the Eiver LeYarden. However, the Sichon and Og are part of the Zion Amamin. It's interesting, Rashi and Shoftim in Perek Yud Ches says that Sichon and Og are Emori and Kanani. And the Rabban happens to call them both the Emorim. But whatever it is, they're part of the Zion Amamin, Sichon and Og. Sichon, we know, Sichon Melech Emori, but Og Melech HaBashan, where exactly is that? Anyway, Rashi Rashi says they're, it sounds like the Og is Kanani, and the Ramban says they're both from Amori. But either way, whatever they are, they're part of the Zion Abamin. And if they're part of the Zion Abamin, that means when you conquer them, the land that you conquer is Chayim and Trumas Amaisos Midaraisa. And he says that it's a Mishnah in Bikurim, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud, that you can't bring Bikurim from Eivre HaYarden because it's not from the Eretz of Aschalav Devash. But Trumas Amaisos is Chayiv. So he doesn't really know why, just leaves it as a question. But why it was, and we know, it says that, we all know that Medrash, I think Rashi brings it, that, Moshe, when he conquered Eretz Sichon Og, thought, Ulai Hutta Har Neder. He thought maybe Hashem was changing his mind and he could go into Eretz Israel. So, it was not. Hashem didn't let him go into Eretz Israel, but the Parsha Shachim leaves it as a question why, Sichon Og wasn't considered Eretz Israel. Yeah, it's not fully, that's true, but if it's part of Zion Abim and Tzchayim and Shurmas Meisim and Zvedaraisa, he doesn't know why that wasn't called part of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, there's a Ramban in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that asks, why is it, that's talking, over there it's talking about, the Torah describes how when they conquered, Midian, how they had a kasher, their Kalim, and talks about all the story, the halachas of kasher and Kalim. So Ramban asks, why was this parsha not given by the Melchama of Sichon and Og? And, right, why didn't, when the Moshe Rabbeinu conquered Sichon and Og, why wasn't that a good time to tell them about, Kasher and Kalim? And the answer was, because since they were part of the Zion Amamin, that's where the Ramban says that they were Amorim, since they were part of the Zion Amamin, so therefore, there was this halacha from the Gemara in Chulin, that they were allowed to eat even treif there. And certainly they could eat the blias from treif. That's the pasuk says, V'chalta shalal oivecha, when they conquered the Goyim, they were allowed to eat their treif. It was a special kederes akasav, hara shah. So certainly there's no need to kasher if they can eat their treif. Okay. So, the Rambam actually holds that that's not fully true. It's only true if you had nothing else to eat, then you'd be allowed to eat it. But, the Mishnah Melech says, the Parshat Drachim here says it doesn't, you know, the Gemara in Chulin doesn't sound like that. It sounds like they could always just eat the treif. But either way, all he wants from that is that the Sichon and Og are considered the land of the Zion Amamin. So again, he doesn't know why Moshe was allowed to go there. And one last point about that is Rashi says that the Kohanim, this is also in Devarim in Perek Yud Ches, that's where Rashi said that the Sichon and Og were Kanani and Amori. Anyway, at the beginning of Perek Yud Ches, Rashi says that there's the Kohanim don't have a Chelek Baretz. So he says that applies to Sichon and Og. And we know from the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel says that any place that's not part of Eretz Yisrael, that is conquered, the Kohanim can have a Chelek v'Nachla. And it's only in Eretz Yisrael that the Kohanim can't get a Chelek v'Nachla. But things outside of Eretz Yisrael, they could. And Rashi is saying that Sichon and Og is a place they can't have Nachla. Again, you see, it's part of Eretz Yisrael. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go there? Again, no answer, just a ha'ara. Okay, getting back to the original Medrash. So again, the Medrash had said that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sorry, the Medrash says that Moshe could not go into Eretz Yisrael. Why was he not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because somehow that would save the Dor HaMidbar, that the Asid Lavo, he would bring, the Dor HaMidbar back into Eretz Yisrael. So he asked the obvious questions. Or how, if they were not allowed, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that, at least some of the Dor HaMidbar was not coming back L'Olam Haba, like it says the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Tes Amud Beis says that the Meraglim are not coming back L'Asad Lavo, Adas Korach is not coming back L'Asad Lavo. So how would it help Moshe's being buried there all of a sudden now, because just because he's buried there they can come back L'Olam Haba? And if you're going to say that it's because he's going to daven for them, that when he comes back he's going to daven for them, so why does he need to be buried next to them to daven for them? He could daven for them anywhere. So the Parshat Shachem doesn't like any of those tirutzim, so he has to come up with another answer of what the point of Moshe being buried there is and what does that affect. So he comes up with the fantastic chap as follows. This is fun. Classic Parshat Shachem. Very creative, fantastic idea. So he says, there's a Gemara in Adarim that says, talks about the differences between certain Nedarim. So if you make a Neder and you swear that you won't go into your house. That is, Reuben says to Shimon, Shimon, I'm not going, I swear I'm not going into your, konam beis chalai, he swears that your house is also to him like a carbon. That's, he makes the neder that he can't go into his, your house. Versus konam bayzeh. He doesn't say your house, he says this house. What's the difference? And the Gemara says the difference is, if you sell it, if Shimon were to sell that house, and then it's no longer Shimon's house. So I swore that Shimon's house is also to me. But if he sold it to Levi, there's no problem. As opposed to if he said this house, then it doesn't matter who the owner is. I said, I'm not going into this house. Okay, that's one thing. But the Ran adds, there's also another nafkamina if it falls down. If it falls down. So if you said bayezeh, and it fell down and somebody rebuilds it, okay, well, that's not bayezeh. I said this house is gone, somebody rebuilt it. But if you said, I'm not going into your house, so if your house falls down and you rebuilt it, it's still your house. So then it's going to be us, so that's the inverse. Okay, that's what the Ran says. The Rashba in Kitten, it's on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, there is talking about if someone gives a get to their wife on condition that they can't go to a certain place, to the house of their father, the Beis Avich, she can't go to Beis Avich, but it's to his house. So it's not a good get because you have to be completely cut off. So the Rashba asks, why is it not a good get? Maybe the father will sell it, and then it won't be Beis Avich. The answer is it's Lav Dafka, he says, and it means she won't go into this house. So if the husband said, don't go into this house, so maybe it'll fall, like the Ran says. And so the Rashba says, no, he doesn't necessarily agree with the Ran. And he says, when you're renting a house, then yes, if you said this house and then the house falls down, okay, so the house is gone. But when it comes to this kind of iser, it doesn't matter. When I said, even if it falls down and is rebuilt, according to him, it would still be iser, according to the Rashba. Then he quotes a Ritva, with another pshat, and the Ritva, we don't have this Ritva, but okay, we have it from others. But anyway, he quotes it as a Ritva, that says, if it falls, you can go into it. And the Raya, and this is where we need it for, the Raya is from the following. There's a Medrash in Koheles that says, Im yivavun al menuchasi Hashem swore that the Dor HaMidbar, they're not coming to Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash says, the menucha zuin umbayim, they're not coming to this menucha, meaning Beis HaMikdash number one, Eretz Yisrael first time. Alabayim heim la menucha acheres, but they're coming in the future. And Amr Yehuda b'shem Yeshua ben Levi gives a mashal to a king who gets angry at his son and kicks him out and swears he can't come back into his house, but then he wants him to come back in. So what does he do? He knocks down the house and builds a new one. So he said, oh, I told you couldn't come into this house. Now I got another house for you to come in. But, you know, he rebuilds it. Now the shvua is hutter. That's the way the king gets out of his shvua. He knocks down the first house. Then he says, oh, I said you couldn't come into the house. That was that house. I built a new house. Okay, so too, Hashem said that the Dor HaMidbar couldn't come into the Beis HaMikdash. That's Beis HaMikdash 1, not Beis HaMikdash in the future. Okay, and that's just, the Ritva says, yeah, you see a proof that if it's, if the house falls, you said Bayezeh, and the house falls and you rebuilt it, you see it's mutter to go into the rebuilt house. And he actually says it doesn't matter whether you said your house. The Ritva says it doesn't matter whether you said your house or this house. In all cases, whether you sold it or whether it fell, doesn't matter as long as it's not either. It's as long as it was either sold to someone else or the house fell down, you built another one, it's mutter. So the bottom line is the Ritva is the most makel of all, whether it's Beis Cha, whether it's your house, this house, doesn't matter. Once the house is gone and it's rebuilt, that's not part of the original nether. Okay, we need that. Hold that thought. We have another piece of information we need to finish the puzzle. And that is, it says that there's a medrash that says that had Moshe actually gone into Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash never would have been destroyed, and no Ummah V'Lashon would have been sholit in it. No one could have attacked the Beis HaMikdash. So, what is Moshe Rabbeinu coming into Eretz Yisrael have anything to do with whether the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? So, you could say the Pasha Pshat is that there's a Gemara in Sota that says that tzaddikim, ranunu tzaddikim Hashem la'yishorim navasihila, the Gemara makes a drasha, that al tikri navel, navetihila, but Tavanu Moshe, the Gemara says, anything that Tavanu Moshe built, the Jews' enemies never were able to destroy. What does that mean? That it sank into the ground. The Mishkan that Moshe built was buried, and the parts that David, the gates from David were swallowed up into the ground, as it says, Tavu Ba'aretz Shara. Anyway, so whatever David and Moshe touched wasn't destroyed, so that maybe that's what it meant. Okay, but he's saying that's not a grape shot because it went into the ground, meaning, okay, it wasn't officially destroyed, but it was gone. That's the point. So what does it mean that if Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, L'Nechav Beis HaMikdash, and no Uma V'Loshen, it makes it sound like everything would have been hunky-dory. And from that metaphor, all you see is it couldn't have been actually destroyed. It would have sunk, but okay, it still would have been gone. Furthermore, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built until 400 years after Moshe came in. So Moshe wouldn't have built it anyway. Unless you're going to say that Moshe would have lived very long, or Moshe would have built it really fast. Okay. Anyway, he says he's got a better answer. What caused the destruction? Here's the answer. What caused the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash? Really? Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, yes, that's all true. But the second Beis HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam, but many come and explain things differently, that was maybe what was going on there, but that wasn't the Iker. In some cases, that was a symptom. Anyway, he wants to say the Iker was Avodah Zarah. That caused all the trouble. And all the problems came from there. The fact that they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and he brings other rayas, that was always the problem. The Avodah Zarah started all the tzaras. Had they not been worshipping Avodah Zarah, none of this would have happened. And basically, this never would have been destroyed. Okay, if you remember, we started this thing by saying that had Moshe actually gone into Eretz Yisrael, he could have davened that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah would go away, because he would have had the Schus of Eretz Yisrael. The only reason he wasn't able to get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is because he didn't go into Israel. Haha! So therefore, had Moshe Rabbeinu come into Eretz Yisrael, he would have davened that the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah would have gone away. And that's the meaning of the Medrash, that the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed, because it never would have been Avodah Zarah. Hashem never would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash had they not been worshipping Avodah Zarah. Okay, where does that leave us? Well, he didn't go in, and because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Well, now, the neder that Hashem made to not let the people in from the Dor HaMidbar, now they could come in, because the Bayis Zeh, that house was destroyed. A new house was rebuilt. So it comes out that because Moshe was not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that allowed the Dor HaMidbar to be able to come in, because Hashem only swore that they wouldn't be able to come in to the first bias, not to the future batim. So that's what it means, that Moshe Rabbeinu was left out of Eretz Yisrael, so that the people of Dor HaMidbar could eventually, come into Eretz Yisrael. Fascinating creative chat, and we'll stop here.